I have Ray Keefe in the studio today, and look, I'll do a little rundown of Ray Keefe. Ray Keefe is the founder and managing director of Electronics and Embedded Software Development Service company called Successful Endeavors Private Limited. Before starting his venture, Ray operated his own recording studio, you know, and studio customization company, which he designed high quality audio preamplifiers, mixing consoles, custom effect units, and did the whole acoustic design for recording studios and venues in Australia and internationally as well. Worked with some of Australia's leading electronics manufacturing companies, which where he designed his work and became, you know, world-class success story. Worked for Australia's largest private sector registered research agency, where he led a number of marketing leading international product development projects before heading up the group that would continue to do this across multiple projects each year, including technical negotiations, trainings and sales services in six other countries. Ray has a qualification in first class honors degree in electrical engineering, 30 years experience in designing world-class electronic products. Successful Endeavors is a Endeavors is an award-winning Australian-owned product development consultancy focusing on electronics design and embedded software development for Australian electronics manufacturers. He's won various numerous awards, and look, the list goes on and on. He's won the KC Business of the Year 2010, KC Business and Professional Services 2010. You know, Ray's also in the KC Manufacturer of the Year finalist and a few other national awards to his name and internationally as well. Like I said, the list goes on and on. And I have the man himself in the studio today, Ray Keefe. Welcome to An Hour of Power and Leadership.
Thanks, Ryan. Nice to be here.
Finally got the name right and the surname right, isn't it? Okay. Ray, can you, I know I've gone through a lot of your bio up there, but can you briefly give me a little bit about your background and how you came about in this. Yep.
I started off with an interest in science. So all my life I've been interested in science, why things work, how we can use them. I had a dream to be an astronaut at one stage. Only one Australian's ever made NASA, though. Started a science degree and realized I had no idea why I was doing it. There was no purpose behind it. It was an interest, but I didn't have an end purpose. So I took a year off, worked some really mundane jobs. That's nothing like that to give you a appreciation of needing a good education. Joined a pub band, learned to play guitar.
Wow.
In that order.
Okay.
We were terrible. But what I found is I loved working with the equipment.
Okay.
And I thought, wouldn't it be cool if I could design my own guitar effects rig, my own pedals?
Mm-hmm.
So I went back to uni to do engineering with the view of getting that skill set.
Okay.
Because it was something I felt passionate about, because music is a communication medium.
Yes.
You can communicate ideas with music sometimes that get past the normal filters that stop people hearing with words.
Yes, it's very powerful. It's very powerful.
Yeah. And so that was what got me into engineering, and that's why initially at the beginning of my career I was focusing on audio and recording studios and music.
Yes.
I actually had a lot of fun doing that, but I didn't make a lot of money. Eventually I needed to get a job that was actually going to pay bills.
Yes, yes.
Which led me into, I was with ABC Television for 18 months.
Okay.
So that once again is fitting. I did 6 months overseas as an overseas aid volunteer.
Okay.
So, went to a country called Pakistan and discovered that in Australia, we're really rich. We don't understand our place in the world.
A lot of us seem to be in our comfort zone. And when you look at countries like India and Pakistan, and where I come from, India itself, it's there's no such thing as a comfort zone up there, and I've spoken about this before. You either you go out there and work for your living, or you be on the streets. Simple as that.
Absolutely. Whereas in Australia, we have options. We can do a range of different things.
Yes.
You can pick what level you live at, what level you try at. You can even not try, and they'll still give you enough money to live on. And so that leads a lot of people to doing what. If you like, not living their dream, not singing their song, not being who they're made to be. They're just sitting back being looked after by other people.
True. Now, tell us a little bit about Successful Endeavors as such. How did you come about the company and, you know, being worldwide as such and such a success itself?
I was working for a company called Invitech. fantastic company, largest private sector R&D consultancy in Australia,
okay,
doing a lot of really interesting projects. I learned a couple of interesting things while I worked there. I saw marketing happen for the first time in my life, really good marketing.
Yeah.
I also learned that only the multinationals and the big corporates could afford them, that the typical Australian employer, the small business, particularly the small business manufacturers, couldn't afford that kind of consulting rate services. I also learned that the multinationals and the big corporates only provide 2% of the wages and salaries. The 85% is provided by the small business. So when I thought to myself, what difference can I make in Australia for the country, I decided to set up a company that provided what Invitech provided, but for the small businesses.
Okay.
So that means it had to be structured radically differently.
Okay.
I couldn't afford 200 staff that I had to feed every week.
Yes.
You know, it had to be a lean organisation. So Successful Endeavours started with the passion for local manufacturing and to provide them with the engineering services they needed to be really successful, both locally and internationally, but at a price point they could actually afford.
Okay, yep. And how did you actually get about into that itself? How did you go about
adversity? Adversity produces opportunity.
Yes.
Towards the end of my time at Invitech, I realized that I wasn't on the same wavelength as some of the other managers because I was really passionate about local manufacture. And I've never believed business is just about money. Anyone who thinks business is just about money hasn't really thought about what's happening, because business is the mechanism we partner with other people to make the world a better place.
Yes.
It's the structure that our society recognizes for doing that.
Yes.
So now it doesn't matter if you're a not-for-profit, you're a government, you're a for-profit, you're commercial. It's the structure that you're partnering with others in.
Yeah. Well put, well put. I like that.
Yeah.
How do you, you know, you're the founder and managing director of Successful Endeavours such now. How do you constantly keep your focus in this, on day-to-day business as such, your business as such?
I think it's the fundamental idea that we're here to serve local manufacturers and make them successful. It's that's the primary driving goal. Yeah. Most people don't realise that manufacturing is the largest economic sector in Victoria.
Mm.
It's the largest employer in Victoria.
Okay.
It's the largest exporter in Victoria.
Oh,
and and it's the hub of the Victorian economy. In Australia, it's the third largest employer still. And it's not favoured by government because we're a post-industrial nation. Governments are trying to turn manufacturing and agriculture off because there's some economic theory and economists haven't shown a great deal of wisdom, unfortunately, that we should get rid of these things now we're a post-industrial nation. But they generate manufacturing generates more jobs indirectly per job in the industry than any other industry. So if we want to grow employment, if we want future prospects, if we want to grow an innovation economy, a knowledge economy, manufacturing is actually at the heart of that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my passion, I mean, I have grandchildren. I think about what will they do for a living? What are we doing? In our generation.
And you're thinking about the future, basically.
Exactly.
Yes.
What are we doing in our generation to mean that the next generation and the next generation are being set up for success?
Okay. Great.
So that's one of the things that drives me.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Now, in saying all that also, what is your motivation? What motivates you to keep moving forward in life every single day? I know a lot of people sit back and, you know, I was speaking about businesses as such. A lot of people say, all right, well, get started in business. And, you know, they don't have the tools as such to move forward, and they don't get out there and ask for coaching as such in life. And, you know, and they lose the motivation itself in business as such. But every individual has their own motivation as such. So what is your motivation to keep moving forward?
There's actually two answers to that.
Yes.
So I'll go through them in turn.
Yep.
First and foremost, and one of the things I love on your website, Ryan, is that you make the point that our decisions define who we're becoming in our destiny, not our circumstances.
Yes.
It's the decisions. Now, our decisions come out of our values and our values come out of our beliefs.
Yes.
So I'm someone who goes to church. I believe that this life is the first step of a much bigger journey.
Certainly,
if I'm going to live a much bigger journey well, I want to set myself up for that in this life. So therefore, I want to grow as much as a person as I can in this life. That means that my comfort zone isn't a place I can stay most of the time, because you don't grow in your comfort zone, as you've already said.
Yes,
it also means that my values are informed by my beliefs. So I believe people are really important.
Exactly. Big answer.
Absolutely. So therefore, we should treat everyone with respect. we should actually look at each person in terms of what is the song in them,
yes,
the words that you used. What is their purpose? What is their call? Whichever set of words you want to use, what is the song in this person that they're not yet singing? How can I help them to get to that moment? One of the things that excites me is when I see the light bulb come on and someone starts to sing the song that's in them. And their unique voice, their unique contribution to the planet starts to happen.
And that's the motivation you get on a day-to-day basis.
So funneling that into business,
yes.
If I want to make a bigger difference in life, I need to become a bigger person.
Mm.
In business, if I want my big business to make a bigger difference in our economy, I have to become a bigger person at business.
Mm.
That same growth principle applies to both.
True.
So 4 years ago, I realized the biggest problem our business had was me. My joke now is that as a business owner, I made a very good engineer. Because they don't teach you anything about business at engineering school.
Okay.
They teach you, there's so much engineering to learn, that's all they can fit in. So I realized there's a bunch of stuff I didn't know. I didn't know how to take this business to the next level. I didn't know what was currently holding it back. I didn't know how to analyze that. So I went looking for a business coach, business mentor. I didn't even know what term to use, quite frankly. I think some of them don't either. It's a different problem. And it took me a year to find someone.
Okay.
So I went to a lot of events. I eventually...
And that has helped you? Business coaching itself has helped you in a big way?
It has. So I met up with a guy in Sydney called Dr. Mark Dassault. He runs a business coaching and mentoring program. And he's also an engineer by background.
Mm.
And I recognized in him someone who knew the things I didn't know, who was prepared to teach me and who I could learn from. Because you've got to have some chemistry in these things.
True.
If the personalities clash, it's hard work. It needs to be something that's going to flow. He basically has, through his program of seminars and events, and there's not a lot of one-on-one coaching. This is mostly a structured program.
Yep.
I've actually got the tools and the education I needed to know what I wasn't doing.
And that's the key, isn't it? You've got to have that support as well to move forward. I mean, apart from your business, apart from everything else out there and having the tools, it's also yourself, how you move forward with that is the key, isn't it? And sometimes you can get left down and the motivation then starts to fall. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, I was telling one of my, my mates the other day too. A lot of people, you know, I take this scenario, for example, drive a car and motivation is just like this. It's happened to me a couple of times. When your petrol indicator starts to get on empty, and you start to say, all right, I'll fill the petrol now, I'll fill the gas in now.
Yes.
And, you know, we get on the freeway, and it's happened to me, I've stopped, and I go, oh, I have no petrol, I have no gas in the car.
You sound like our clients.
it's so, if you look at life as such, we're always waiting for the empty to fill up. And motivation as such, you've got to be on the full all the time.
Absolutely.
And keep motivating yourself, reading books, inspiring yourself constantly every single day of your life and not waiting for the empty button or the empty indicator to build up on motivation. It gets too late by that stage.
Yes, you have to have a reason for doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the things I find in the Australian economy is that research and development is a grudge purchase.
Mm.
People don't see it as an investment that they need to make to get their business to where it is. They see it as a cost they don't want to have to pay.
Mm.
Whereas we're lucky to be working with a number of clients who actually understand that they will make in profits more than 10 times what they spend with us. If they've got their marketing the services that we deliver will generate very large back-end profits.
True. I'm with Ray Keefe, and Ray, you were speaking to me about your faith, and I'm also coming from, I have a strong belief in faith as well. So can you give me a little bit about your background in your church services, and you do a lot of help there as well?
Yep. At the moment, I'm going to a church called the Wine Press in Berwick. It's a community-focused church.
Yep.
Our belief is that God loves people and people are really important. One of the things we need to do is serve people and help them with the things that they're struggling in life. We talked about the song is still in people. Yes. It is still in so many people.
Yes.
So, for instance, we do programs like food bags.
Okay.
There's a lot of people who are under mortgage stress or can't pay their rent or living out of cars in Casey. And so the local agencies, we provide bags of food you know, with structured meal plans that people can use to just relieve one of the stress points. We run a lot of programs to actually help people.
Okay.
I was at church this morning. A typical service we get 300 people at.
Mm.
I'm also a guitarist at church. I've continued on with that tradition.
All right.
And I do a bit of songwriting on the side. But I just love creating an environment where people can actually step into more than they are now.
Mm.
And we believe that helping them to, you know, identify with their purpose in life, get connected with the reason why they're alive, which is that there is a God who made everything and he really does care about them.
Okay.
And if they can connect with that,
yes,
then so much more of their life will come into focus.
And it follows on. You were talking about how it follows on.
Yeah, that's right. So the normal order of things is that your faith will inform your values. And so out of faith comes a new set of values for living and a new set of principles for living. And then out of that will come your decisions. So it's not a case. I mean, we have so many self-improvement programs in the world which say, we will teach you what decisions to make, and that will change your life.
Yes.
No, no, no. You have to change who you are as a person. As Alexander the Great said, if you would conquer the world, start with yourself.
Yes.
You know, so we have to become new people so that we can have better values so that we can make better decisions.
Yes, yes. You're a very focused person. I can see that sitting in front of me. Right? Now, also, do you look up to someone for inspiration during the hard times, and would you like to share that with us? Who do you look up to?
Yeah, I probably don't have a single role model.
Okay.
I look to people like, say, Bill Clinton or Tony Blair and the work that they've been able to do in bringing people together and creating consensus at a government level. And I think to myself, my goodness, I wouldn't even know where to start with that. And yet these people are changing the world and they're making it a better place. I look to some of the, you know, the great, if we go back to the faith side of things, to the great, the people of faith and the things that they did.
Yes.
You know, so from Jesus all the way through to the apostles, through to, if we're talking, you know, Catholic tradition, your background, we look at some, you know, St. Francis Xavier, St. Francis Assisi, the things that they did. Mother Teresa, I mean, what an amazing, inspiring life. One of the quotes I love about her is she badgered popes.
Yeah.
She had so much influence because she was humble that she could actually give popes a hard time.
Yeah, she's one of my inspirations as well, Mother Teresa. Yeah, coming from a country in back in India as well, like I said, it's she's created a lot of waves up and around the world itself. And there's a difference between a person with character and a person with charisma. You know, character is what's left over after all the charisma has long been forgotten. And Mother Teresa is a person of character, absolute character. And you've got to build on that, I believe. Saying all that, you know, you continue to inspire people with your innovation and your passion and your art and your craft. Now, what drives you? What is your drive behind this, Ray?
Oh, it's a mixture of things. Partly it's that I'm on this earth with a purpose. I have a song in me.
Okay.
If we're going to run with that theme.
Yes.
Part of that song is to help other people connect, find and connect with their own dreams. So, as I said, there's a moment when I see a light bulb come on in somebody's life and they go, wow, I didn't know I could be all of this.
Yes.
That's one of the things. It's the fact that people are really important. And I love creating new things.
Yes.
God created a universe, but he didn't finish the job.
Yep.
He's left it in our hands. He said, have dominion over the earth. What does that mean?
Yes.
To create, to co-create, to actually take what he has given us as a starting point and make it better.
Yes.
And that's an amazing thing. So we create probably in the order of 100 brand new products every year within our business that make people's lives better.
Right.
We don't work on products that are not going to make people's lives better.
Okay.
We, you know, if you talk about our faith informs our values, informs our decisions.
Yes.
If the gambling industry came to me and asked me to do a project, I wouldn't do it because it does not build people's lives.
The values also on life, which is important.
Yeah. Now, they could offer me a lot of money, but I wouldn't do it because, you know, it's not about the money.
True.
It's about the world that we're building.
Yes, true, true. So some of the products itself, can you give us a little bit about some of the products you've got, some of the products have actually taken off?
Yeah, so most of the work that we do is covered by non-disclosure agreements. So there are some things I won't talk about because of that.
Yep.
Or no, I won't talk about anything that's not on the market yet because that's their livelihood.
Yeah.
But some things that we have worked on is that there's a small business in Werribee called, well, Hoppers Crossing actually, called BorgTech.
Okay.
Now, BorgTech was born out of an American company buying an Australian company and shutting them down to take them out of the market. So, you know, Pablo at BorgTech decided that there was a whole market here not being serviced.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wanted, and the market he's in is corrosion protection data logging. This is basically a device that tells you if your pipes or tanks are rusting.
Okay.
Really important if you're in the gas or petrochemical or processing industries to know that this pipeline is not going to rupture and create a national a natural disaster. So we've designed a corrosion protection data logger for him, and it won two national awards in 2009.
Fantastic.
And so that's an example. Another one is that ABB is a multinational, but they have a tiny little division by ABB standards in Lilydale called their high voltage division.
Okay.
And they do power factor correction controllers. That's the stuff that actually makes the electrical grid operate more efficiently, reduces carbon emissions, improves power, means that the power companies can actually charge more for their power, means that the end users actually get more for what they pay for. It's just a winner all round. And so we've developed a new version of this product that's enabled for the international market. So it's got DNP3 communications that's a SCADA network. That means that it can go into the American smart grid market.
Okay.
And they can hook it into their comms protocols, and it can actually talk with the systems over there.
Okay.
So they've gone from not having a product that could do that to now having a product that can do that. They've now got so they're now sitting on possible contracts internationally that they couldn't have engaged with before. And this product won the national award for industrial electronics last year in Australia.
Wow, fantastic.
So there's a couple.
Great, great. Well, saying all that, where do you see yourself 5-10 years from today, Ray?
I'm still a very hands-on engineer. I guess one of the things I'm going to have to come to grips with is how long do I keep being hands-on and how do I go about transplanting what I've learned, the wisdom that I've got from all the screw-ups I've done that I process properly into the lives of other people. Yeah. So we've got some fantastic young engineers working with us. They're Gen Y.
Yep.
They work hard. They're focused. They're committed. All this stuff about Gen Ys don't work. It's a values disconnect.
Yes,
if they believe in what your business does, they will pour themselves into it, is my experience. And so one of the things I'm thinking of is how do I replicate me? How do I sow the things that I've learned into other people so that more of this can happen?
And you have to find someone with a common vision, a passion itself, what passion you have. You have to find someone, and that's the key, isn't it, to share that common vision and be able to take on that passion and work hard with it. And ultimately, you have the end product, which you desire in life.
So. Yes.
Well, we've got a couple of minutes to 2 o'clock, so we'll be wrapping up soon. But just a last, on a last note or last question, let's put it this way. Do you have a special quote or a message you can leave to inspire our audience with? And how can people look forward, or let's put it this way, a special message for small businesses as such?
Yeah, I've got a quote and a message, so I'll do the quote first.
Yes.
This is from a guy by the name of Aristotle,
some
380 BC, an arts major could tell us probably exactly, but the purpose of the organization is so that ordinary men and women can come together and in cooperation with each other do the extraordinary.
Wow.
That's why organizations exist. That's why business exists.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah, that's really great.
And the message is that if you're a small business owner, probably you have the same struggle that I had, which is you're not actually as competent at business and at business understanding as you need to be for your business to go forward. I think that there's a lot of opportunity and that the thing that's holding us back is that we have a very small mindset. The cake is only this big. And I've got this little slice and everyone wants to take it off me. No, no, the cake is defined by how I think about this thing. If you get educated in business principles, then that will actually open up the ability for you to engage with the opportunity that's around you.
Fantastic. Thank you, Ray. That was Ray Keefe on An Hour of Power and Leadership. Ray, thanks for coming into the studios today.
Thanks for having me.
I've got to have you in back once again. Yeah, I think you've absolutely blown my mind away with a lot of the stuff you're speaking about. That was Ray Keefe, an absolutely inspiring story, and it was really. I'm really glad I had him on the show. We'll get him down maybe in a few weeks' time to speak to us again about a few things which I've run short of time we could ask him on. Well, I hope you enjoyed the segment today. We are on allthews.facebook.com/RyanGomez segment.
Tuning live online is allthews.kcradio.com.au. I hope you had a listen in live, our international guests as well. A lot of our national guests, thank you so much for tuning in. It was an absolute honor and a privilege to be here speaking with you on this hour of power and leadership. That brings us to the end of this segment. Don't forget to tune in next week again, same time, 1 to 2 p.m. every Sunday. And Tuesdays as well. So, and it's, I like to leave you with this quote all the time as before I sign off. I say, when you see success, do not question it, copy it. I will see you next week. Over the top.